We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, from the very start, President Trump has insisted that his phone call with the president of Ukraine, where he asked for the favor of investigating Joe Biden and his family, was, in the president's words, perfect. There was no quid pro quo in the holdup of U.S. military aid to Ukraine, said the president and his supporters. But after several weeks of testimony in the House impeachment inquiry, there is emerging what is looking awfully like a very clear quid pro quo.
Most recent testimony came from Gordon Sondland, ambassador to the European Union, appointed by the president, handpicked by the president to head up dealings with Ukraine. And in this new testimony, revised testimony, Sondland pretty much shatters any idea that there wasn't this understanding that the American military aid came with conditions. John Hartwood, Washington, D.C. bureau chief for CNBC. So, John, where do we start? I guess, first off, this is a heck of a thing to forget the first go around and then suddenly remember later on.
Absolutely it is. And what we've seen is, one after the other, the defenses being offered by President Trump and Republicans in Congress have been disproven by the evidence and testimony. You had the president initially saying, well, the call was perfect. They released the transcript of the call. It showed that he pressured the Ukrainian president. Then he said, well, there's no pressure. And then once it became obvious to everyone there was pressure, then he said, well, no quid pro quo. And now we have Sondland saying there was a quid pro quo. The facts are clear, and it's up to Congress now to figure out what to do about it and whether Republicans are going to be willing to defend the president under these circumstances. Certainly in the House, it appears that they are. But the Senate is yet to be seen once they have to take a stand. Of course, the House is next going to public impeachment hearings, and I would expect fairly soon after that they will vote to impeach the president, and then it will be in the Senate's lap.
So it also seems as if there has been this shift in the defense for the president, right? I mean, at first it was there was no quid pro quo, favor for a favor. Mm-hmm. Now it's sort of, okay, you know what? There was a quid pro quo, but nothing wrong with it.
That's right. And I think the next thing that we're going to see is, well, maybe there was something wrong with it, but it's not impeachable. Do you really want to have an impeachment over that? And the election's just a year away, so why don't we wait until then? The response from Democrats, of course, is that this is a subversion of the Constitution that they feel compelled to deal with and to assess in the remedy that's available to them, which is impeachment. But you're exactly right. They fall back and give up ground every time they have to. And this is another day when they have to. And this is a lot of ground.
Whose territory is that last defense trigger you're for? Because I think there is an understanding out there. Maybe both sides can agree to it, that impeachment, you know, is the ultimate remedy, and it needs to be for a huge offense. And the Democrats say this could be one of them. Maybe they'll add in more things later, but they're going to have to make that case, whereas some on the other side say, okay, maybe it was wrong, but it's not, like you said, impeachable.
Some Republican senators are already beginning to make that case because they anticipated the moment that we're in right now. That is to say, not being able to defend him on the substance. So Rob Portman of Ohio, for example, has said, I think what the president did was improper, but it's not impeachable. We're going to hear more and more Republican senators make that case. Remember, Democrats are going to need to get 20 Republican senators to vote with them in order to force this president from office. That's a very steep task. It's not likely that they'll meet it, but it's also not impossible, and a lot of that is going to be determined by the execution of these public hearings and whether they move public opinion enough to compel Republican senators to respond.
Of course, the interesting thing, I guess, here is that, and maybe this is what the founders had in mind, because as you know, while there have been presidents who have been impeached, we've never had a president ever convicted and ousted by the Senate.
Absolutely. It's a very grave step. And part of the argument people make is, well, it's too divisive for the country. Better to let the voters settle it. But the argument that you will hear from Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and the Democrats is the House of Representatives, as a separate and co-equal branch of government, has to stand up for constitutional principles, constitutional order, the rule of law. And that will be weighed against the idea that it will be very upsetting to many Trump supporters and Republicans if we go in this direction toward impeachment and removal. And how those two factors are weighed is going to depend on public opinion. Right now, about half the country says the president should be impeached and removed from office, but the number of Republicans who say that is relatively low. The higher the Republican number gets, the more likely it is that he would end up being removed.
Who's on the list for getting called to talk at these now public hearings?
Well, many of the people that we have heard from already, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor. I would expect EU Ambassador Sondland will be testifying. The whistleblower apparently does not want to testify, wants to provide written responses, and wants to have his identity shielded. His testimony is not strictly necessary, since almost everything he said has been vindicated by other evidence, including the record of the telephone call and the testimony of those various witnesses. But we'll hear sitting members of the White House staff, the National Security Council, as well as some who've left the administration.
It's John Harwood, Washington, D.C. Bureau Chief for CNBC.